Well, I am so glad tonight that we're going to be able to hear and see some of what's gone on there in Suriname. I'm excited about it. Not only what, I don't remember if you were here on Wednesday night or not, every one of you, but we did hear a little bit about some of the tracts and things that were passed out. Some of that may be redundant tonight, but what a blessing it is to be redundant about things that were done for the Lord. Amen. And to tell it over and over again. I'll just say this, that it's a first one we've taken in a while outside of the country like that, and it was a blessing not only to do that in a place that most people, they ask you, where is that? And beyond that, it's that one of our graduates is there, and we're so glad to be able to go and just shoulder to shoulder help them and pass out flyers, win souls to Christ. Brother John headed this up. I was so thankful for him and his wife doing that. And all of you that went, thank you for taking the time to invest in our graduate there and in the people of Suriname. Come and lead us, brother. I'm going to go sit with my wife.
All right, Brother Jeremiah, you can get that screen down, or whoever's in the audio room. I would like to start off with my testimony of the trip. It's been a great trip. We passed out over 1,000 invitations to the Kinderfeast. It is a children's party in Dutch. It's Kinderfeest, and it's a children's party in Dutch, and we have it a mini anniversary Sunday, and we had over 100 people come out to hear the gospel. You'll see a little bit of the presentation in the video tonight, but we had over 100 people that got to hear the gospel, but not only through that Kinderfeest that we share the gospel, but we passed out over 1,000 invitations as well. Just door to door, and we were there to help prepare for a medical missions trip that's going to be coming down the pike there. They're going to be hosting that, and so we got to help them out by getting some of those invitations ready. But the Lord also blessed us, and we saw at least 2 souls saved in that. We say, well, that's not a lot, but hey, that's 2 people that are not going to hell tonight. So that's everything is worth it if we just see 1 more soul. And we saw 2 saved at the Sunday service there. And we got a lot of good response from the neighborhood there with Mark. He is planning on starting a Bible study this month on Saturdays, trying to get his church going there. And then in August, he's going to have a full thing of his full launch of his church. So we're hoping that he has... From those 100 people that we had come out for the Kinder, the children's thing, we'll have the parents follow up with that, and he's had a pretty good response with that. And he even, at the children's party, he had a government official that was there that talked to him for about 45 minutes to an hour about what they're doing there in the neighborhood and how they can help out. So he's getting some good connections there in the neighborhood and in that area. It was just a blessing to have that little bit of time there to be able to help him with it. For me, one of the things that really touched my heart in the outreach and everything like that was we got to take some time and go. We went to the neighborhood school there just down the road from Mark, and we were able to walk not only up to the street that it's on, but within the gates and pass out invitations there in the neighborhood school. And we got to talk to the parents and to the kids and everything like that. And afterwards, we were able to go, and me and Mark and a few of the guys, we went and played soccer with some of those kids. And he may not be doing our normal day-to-day soul winning with those kids, like going and visiting those kids every Saturday or something like that. But you know what? Those kids know his name. And they know that he'll play soccer with them. And he had the Bible there ready to give the gospel if they ever asked any questions about it. Now, they didn't ask me any questions because I didn't speak Dutch. But they spoke to Mark, and they knew Mark by name. And he is having a great impact in his area there of Suriname. So he's really doing a great job reaching that area. And it was a blessing just to be able to go there and help out with that little bit of time that we had. So we're going to have a little bit of a video, a little presentation. And then we're going to have a few of our people that were on the team come up here and talk. All right, please keep it to about 3 minutes. 3 minutes. All right, please don't go more than that. Don't wax eloquent from the place up here. I already had someone say that they only had a minute and a half of their time, so I'm going to hold you to it, okay? So if you don't, I'm going to come run you down. All right. So let's have the video, and then we'll get going. So as we have our first testimony person, yeah, my wife, come on up here. As you can tell, they had multiple different religions in there. I was talking to someone today, and they pride themselves in being accepting. They pride themselves in being accepting of all religions and not just holding on to one religion and having a national identity in that. They pride themselves in accepting everyone as they are and kind of all blending together. And because of that, they have so many different holidays. When we were there, just the week that we were there, they had two holidays while we were there. They had 2 days off, but they are lost in their ways. They are lost in their acceptance of different religions and different things. They're okay to accept you, but they're not going to listen to you as much. So some of the going out and being able to go soul winning and things like that, it was different. We had to build a relationship with that. And so that's one of the things, being with my wife, it was different to, we go to the door and you had to build a relationship with them, not just go there and tell them why you're there. You have to be there and you have to build a relationship, ask their name, and it's a little hard to do that when you're American. So I'm going to have my wife come up here and be the first one to give her testimony.
Hello. My name is Anna Tiberi, and I was very thankful for the opportunity to go on this mission trip to Suriname. I'm going to have to be really careful because I could talk and talk and talk about it. I've been on a missions trip outside of the States before, but this was John's first time, and it was so much fun to see him finally get to see just the cultural things, and the driving is different, and the food is different, and just so many different things. And one of the ways that it was most different was the visiting. I feel like I'm pretty confident visiting in America, but there it was very different. And one of the things that when you walked up to a house, you didn't go to the front door because they said it would be rude. Their front door is kind of like their gate. So you just walk up to their gate and then you yell, clop, clop. You yell, clop, clop. And that translates to knock, knock. So that's what you yell at the house. And I really thought Mark was joking us because he just wanted to see all these white people walking down the Suriname streets yelling clop, clop at houses. But it actually is a thing. So you just walk down, and a lot of people don't have AC, so they've got their windows open. So you yell hello at clop, clop, and then they come out to greet you, and you can tell them why you're there. John and I got to go with one of the national ladies from actually a different church across the city that came to just help us that day out visiting. And she was just watching John and I. She goes, you go way too fast. You tell them you're from the church, like, first thing. You have to talk to them for a while. You have to admire the trees in their yard. You need to just slow down and get to know. And then after you've talked for a while, you can say that you're from the church and you have an invitation. So that was definitely different for me. I felt like we just stood there talking about a lot of nothing before it actually got down to, like, here, we want to invite you. During the Kinderfest, I got to help primarily with word bracelets. So I had a little bracelet making station, which I love to do crafts. And so it was just seated in the shade on the side. And the first couple times, we were trying to figure out how to do it. And then I kind of got into a rhythm of asking them, like, do you know what the Bible is? And a lot of them said yes, that they did know what the Bible was and that they went to a church. And then some said they had no clue what the Bible was. And so I got to just explain a little bit of that. So that was probably my biggest outreach, just sitting there talking with the kids. And if they did know the Bible, I'd ask them what their favorite Bible lesson was or just different things. And so it was just such a blessing to be able to go. And just we got to go to three other national churches there. And they were all a little bit different, and none of them had AC, and I got to see John preach, and there were motorcycles going by, and dogs barking, and babies crying, and it was so crazy and distracting, but he did just such a great job, and I love little churches like that, that even though they're very different, while, you know, worshiping Jesus, and the Suramese love to sing. We had, for one of the services, an hour-long song portion. We just sang song after song after song, and that was just such a blessing. Helping Mark and Emily there, they've done so much to learn the language and then just find that house that we did the Kinderfest at. That's where they're renting, and it just has everything that they need to start a church. It's got a covered area. It's got an outside bathroom. It's got a second garage that they can put 100 chairs in. They've just done so much work, and to see them get ready to really launch that church and to see Mark and Emily just get to the point where they can go shopping and communicate in Dutch. A lot of people do know English, and they'll talk to you in English, but then as soon as they're not talking to you, they immediately go to Dutch. And so it really is important for them to start a Dutch church right where they are. So it was just such a blessing, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity, and it was just a wonderful trip.
I'm Shirley Abbott. I'm John's mom. And I don't do this, okay? Because this is what I do every time I get in front of people. But anyway, Mark grew up with JT, and he was at my house a lot. So when John said, we're going to go to Suriname, I said, oh my, I got to go. But I'm scared. I've never been out of the country. I've never been on a mission trip. But I had it to do. And I'm glad I did. It was a very good experience. I have to say, when we got in that, you saw the little lime-colored van. We all, 11, got in that little lime-colored van. And we started driving on the wrong side of the road. And I was sitting right behind the driver, and I'm like, oh my. And this was like, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night when we got in the first night. And I thought, wow, there's cars coming at you. Of course, they know they're supposed to be on that side, and the driver knows, but I think we're supposed to be over there, and the lights are coming at you. So that was something to get used to. Then we got in the next day, we got started making the packets up that they will be taken to the houses door to door. And we did, I don't know how many we did, but we did a lot. Emily had to keep going out and buying more bags because we were using them all up. And Mark said, you know, what we did in the time we were there, it would have taken them a month to do. And I just thought, oh, at least we were able to do that for them. You know, they've got boxes now sitting there waiting to just take to people. And then the last thing that I have to say is, Anna was talking about the singing. The night that we were there and they sang for an hour, there was a little lady sitting in front of me. She must have been 90 years old. She was tiny. She was frail. But what was coming out of her mouth was just so overwhelming to me. You could tell she loved the Lord. She believed in the Lord. And she just didn't hold back anything. And I told her afterwards, you know, it was so impressive to me. You have to understand that these churches, there's no air conditioning. There's no padded seats, okay? The windows, there's no glass in the windows, so there's insects. But these people come because they truly want to hear and learn about Jesus and the Lord. And it makes me think about our churches here. You know, do people just come because it's Sunday and it's time to come? Whereas those people who were actually coming to that church were there for the right reason. And I almost envy Mark and Emily, because there's so many people for them to touch. And it was just a good experience.
We had a wonderful time. It was just a blessing to me, and it was an honor to get to go. It's my first time ever meeting the Mariners and their three children. We just thank you for all the prayers that you covered this family with. Here they are, young couple away from their family in a different land, learning the language. I'm sure it's real easy. But it was such a blessing to get to go. And it encouraged my heart to see three different churches that we went to and those congregations, those people, the love that they were showing to each other, to Mark and Emily and the kids. He really has some dedicated members in these churches that are really stepping up and eager to learn, eager to spread the gospel. and just keep them in your prayers, because it is a hard ministry that they have there with the large Muslim population, the Hindu population. But I was really surprised at the number of Christians in that geographical area. But it was such an honor and a blessing to get to go. If you get a chance, do it. Thanks.
I'm Dave Williamson, and I'm a retired missionary, so I've done this quite a few times. Probably the most, is there something that each person can do? We all did much of the same, but they needed some steps in one of the churches, so I tore out the old steps, and I was supposed to weld in some new, and the metal was bad, so I had to replace some of it, and did that. We could witness to a lot of people in English. The only thing that was different that I didn't care for was they didn't have tracks for us, nothing to leave. I mean, we passed out a lot of tracks and stuff, but when you were just talking one-on-one, there wasn't anything there in Suriname for English or to have. And I'd left mine at home, because I thought, why would I want to give them a landmark track? I wished I'd have taken more. But he said they led two in church, but on the plane coming home, I sat next to a guy, and he says, "What is that, a Bible?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Where are you going when you die? Do you know?" He said, "No." I said, "Would you like to know?" He said, "Yes." So I slid over in his next to him, and there was nobody between us, and I led him to the Lord before we took off.
I'm thankful that we have a God that can speak all languages. And I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me to go on this mission trip. I'm like Brother Dave, I've been on several mission trips myself, and I just had a wonderful opportunity of meeting the people on the ground, the relationships that we built, just phenomenal. I remember being in the fort. That fort, there was a picture of it. And inside the fort, I had the opportunity to interact with some of the children there. They were all like on a day, what do they call it? A field trip. And I got the opportunity to interact with the children, and they just absolutely loved it. And then just with our bus driver and the mariners, and just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to meet the people. And I got to go soul winning with Brother Dave. And we did get an opportunity to witness to one man, and he prayed, but I don't think he prayed. I think he was praying to somebody else, not to the Lord. So that's why we didn't turn that one in. But I just love the experience of going on a missions trip. I love the people. The food, it left an indelible mark inside of me. I don't know if I'll ever heal from those scars. I am not a heat person, so some of that food was very hot. And some of it, I can take and leave it. But as we were driving down the road, I like to take pictures. And I was taking pictures, and I apologize to John for not putting my pictures in there. But in fairness, I wanted my wife to see them before I uploaded them. I took a picture, and it was just of a building. And it's interesting when you're on these field trips, because you can see what you would consider a mansion and right next to a shack built out of cardboard and plywood, and then a business, and then it just repeated over and over. But this building, it was half finished. And in front of it, it was just all overgrown. And as I was flipping through it, I was getting ready to delete the picture. But as I started to look at it, and I started to zoom in on it and blow it up, I saw something that just spoke to me. And right in the middle of the picture was a papaya tree. And I got me thinking. And I said, at some point, somebody was working there and sat down for lunch. And whether it was their wife or themselves, was eating a papaya. And while they were eating that papaya, they flipped some seeds onto the ground. And now that papaya tree is growing, and maybe someday it'll produce fruit. And it really got me thinking about the parable where God talks about that some seeds fell by the wayside, some fell upon stony ground, some fell up among the thorns, and others fell on good ground. And that's what we were doing. We necessarily did not see a lot of people get saved that day, but we planted a lot of seeds. And we're hoping that someday when we get to heaven, that we will see the fruits of our labor. Thank you for allowing us to go.
Good evening, church. I'm Caitlin Slavens, and I just wanted to thank you for the privilege of going to Suriname on missions. I'm thankful for a pastor and a church that sees the need to fund these missions projects. I learned much about the country and the people in Suriname. It's multicultural, and I know Brother John said some of this stuff. Its people groups have many religions as well as many holidays, and the community accepts and embraces all of these things. Because of this, I found it was easier for us to share the gospel with many people, because very few people turned us away. My favorite part of the trip was the day that we spent out in the city center passing out tracts and the gospel and inviting people to the Kinderfeast. Brother Mark had taught us how to greet the people in Dutch to get their attention, right, so that they would talk to us. I didn't find that very helpful for me, right? So I just embraced being English and being myself, and I spoke to them in English and found out that politeness is a universal language. You know, just saying good morning was just as good as saying Figo or whatever it was that we were supposed to say to get their attention. I was very encouraged by the response of those people and their desire for the Word of God. Some people even asked for more than one copy of the Bible, which it was like the Book of John, I think, we were passing out, so that they could share it with their friends and their neighbors. There was one lady particularly, she stopped me, and she said, spread God's word in Suriname, but she said it in her own language. And then she said, did you understand what I said in English? And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I did not. And so she told me in English to spread God's word in Suriname. And I promised her that that's what we would do. And she left, you know, a big smile on her face. We were treated very kindly and enjoyed food from many countries. I made many friendships with those serving in Suriname. I know that Miss Shirley mentioned all the churches there, how there are several. They're not close by each other, but there are several churches there. And people who are serving there and have been serving there for a while. And then we even met a missionary couple that's there to support the churches. And we saw these people several times throughout the week. It wasn't like we met them one time. They were around. Not every church had a service on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And so we were able to see those people over and over again and build relationships with them. And that was very exciting. And as Miss Rita said, it was very exciting to see how they loved each other, how the missionary kids were best friends and they loved each other and how they were able to support each other. Early in the week, I found that my mission was to Emily. And I absolutely enjoyed getting to know Emily and helping Emily with the things that had to be done, not just for the Kinderfeast, but even just around her house, right? Because here she is hosting us 11 people, trying to get everything in order for the day. And we went home at night, and she still had all those things to do. So I really enjoyed being able to minister not just to the people there in Suriname, but also to Emily. I can't wait for the next opportunity to go and tell others about God's great love on the foreign field. But until then, I'll keep on being a witness here at home.
So as you see, we had a really great opportunity to go over there. We reached a lot of people, and we got to minister to the missionaries. That was one of the biggest things that we got to do, too, was just help Mark and Emily and give them some American influence and some American socialization. So it was good to have that as you come, Pastor. One of the things that I'm glad that they left out, there was one story about they were singing a song, or there was a coffee shop, because coffee is not as big in there as it is in the United States. And there was this little place called Three Beans. And I needed to get a cup of coffee. And
amen.
I needed my basic white girl coffee, something that's not just like the strong stuff that they have at the store. So we sent the girls there. But apparently when they mentioned that it was Three Beans,
white girl coffee?
My basic white girl coffee. Kind of like how you make it, Pastor, you know, where it's more creamer than it is coffee. But They said that on the trip, I am the children's pastor here, because when they said it was three beans, I started singing one little, two little, three little beans. So I don't remember that, but that's what they said on the trip.
Amen. We'll have to talk after about the coffee. Amen. But I like my coffee. It's a holy trinity. I'll just explain it. Not white girl, okay? One-third coffee, one-third sugar, one-third creamer, okay? Amen. I'll just say this tonight. Many of the things and some of the stuff that you've mentioned there, it was a blessing for our group to go, and there were several other folks that weren't able to be here tonight that went, and just different things that they mentioned to me. One of the things that stood out to me and is obvious but sometimes not always obvious to us is just they spoke of sometimes of the isolationism of our missionary that's there, that's chosen to go and there and again. So when we pray for them, we ought to pray for laborers. Them, our group going was not just someone that pulled alongside and pulled with them, but they were familiar faces of people who loved them, that cared for them, that prayed for them, that wanted to pull with them for that week. But they came back, and they're going to continue there for a while by themselves. And they have people that love them, and they have relationships, but it's not the same. And again, you can just understand that. Most missionaries can tell you, anybody that served the Lord in a place where there's not a lot of other fellowship with other missionaries or other preachers and believers that have come, there's that certain family, there's that isolationism. So I think tonight, more than anything, I want you to understand that my heart is for the mission field, and that's why we send and we support the Mariners. But we not only care about the mission field, but we care about the missionary on the field. And we need to pray for them, not just for the work that they do, but that for them personally, because they're people just like you and I. They're going through highs and lows and troubles and struggles and battles that sometimes they never tell us about. And they need our prayers. They need our encouragement. Sometimes it's a blessing when the Lord puts it on our heart to just go and be with them and to pull alongside of them. And so I don't think we understand sometimes what it means to a missionary for someone that when we've had a personal relationship with them to just reach out and let them know, hey, I'm praying for you today. Even though we pray on a regular basis, maybe we reach out and just call. We have more ability to reach around the world than we've ever had before with technology, and still our missionaries feel isolated from us. And it's not because we don't care, it's just because we just don't plan to take time and to reach out to them. So I want to encourage you tonight to just think about and to realize we have so many through the years, and again, I don't have a count, but countless graduates, not only just from our Bible college, but countless graduates of other colleges that we currently support around the world in missions, and those folks are just sticking to the stuff, doing exactly what they told us they would do, that they would stay and that they would work and they would just spend themselves there. And so we need to support them with more than just our money. We need to support them with our encouragement and with our prayers. And when we can, you know, plan to go be a part with them, just to go. And sometimes we think about a mission trip, you know, we send 11, and you may think, well, how much could they get done? Well, not just the things that they mentioned that got them ahead a month and things of that nature, but just think about the encouragement that was there that gave them a shot in the arm to keep going, to stay the course. And so tonight, let's do this. Let's stand to our feet, and maybe God, not just for the Mariners, but maybe for some other missionary that you're personal with, that we personally support. As a church tonight, why don't we just do this? Why don't we pray for our missionaries? Amen. So if you want to find a place where you are, if you want to come to the altar, Brother Burt's going to come. And let's do this as a church. Let's pray for our missionaries tonight. Let's lift their names out in prayer. Amen. As the musicians come to their place, you come on and take a place at the altar and pray tonight with us. Mm-hmm.